This is a replay of the Tuesday night, March 14th WGN radio show. We started at 11 right after the game. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, which they will again tonight, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got a couple hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And as I mentioned, I've got slime from the checkout line. That's right. It was John who earlier today said, you haven't read the tabloids in a while. And I said, well, there's nothing interesting. He said, well, let's go to the grocery store and pick some up. Well, I looked through them and most of them weren't interesting. But I will say that the Globe showed quite a lot of promise. So there will be some stories from the Globe tonight. That's for sure. But of course, whatever is on your mind trumps that. And the sad news that Jerry Samuels has died. And I loved this guy. And of course, you may know him as Napoleon the 14th. Yeah, he was actually a New York recording engineer when he came up with that Warner Brothers lone hit, which I guess has been behind every obit on him. So of course, we won't play that one. But for many decades, he was back in Philadelphia, where he was living when I was on the air there. And he was just a talented guy. And sadly, of course, he certainly capitalized on, they're coming to take me away, haha. But that was not even a small specter of his talent. He was a recording engineer and also a writer and producer, a number of other things as well. And all around interesting guy who just happened upon the technique and became a huge smash. And of course, as one would imagine, when it became a huge smash, every mental health worker, probably in the world, but certainly in the lower 48, just went nuts over their coming to take me away, saying it was making fun of mental health issues and all that. It was actually making fun of bad records. But so be it. Rest in peace, Jerry Samuels. And as I say, we won't play They're Coming to Take Me Away, even though I do know every word. Absolutely useless information. But one of his other compositions that I always favored, you will hear. And what's interesting, he had a website, jerrysam.com, which for Jerry Samuels, which was, of course, his name, which had parts of dozens and dozens of things he wrote. Never played the one I'm going to, so maybe he wasn't as fond of it as I was. We'll see. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and we'll kick it off with Bruce and Elwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing? Glad to hear you back on the air and glad to hear John again.
Yes, well, glad that you called. What's up?
Well, you were talking even last night, it reminded me about the electric car is not going to have AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
This whole electric car thing is just insane.
Well, it's certainly,
I mean, they show these fancy people in dinner clothes, driving, and we're not polluting anything. And nobody brings up the subject of where this stuff comes from.
Funny you mention that, because of course I live in the Copper Corridor, as you know, and the lifeblood of this part of Arizona is copper, and we have the world's largest underground copper mine would have already been up and running, but the Eco-Wackos and the Indian tribes are doing all they can to make sure that it never happens. And what's so funny about that, or ironic, or maybe sad all the way around, is that the amount of copper needed by electric vehicles is huge compared to conventional cars. And here they are wanting to shut down the biggest mine, not even underway yet. When, you know, you think about this, conventional cars use about 18 pounds of copper. Hybrids use about 85 pounds. Plug-in electrics use about 132 pounds. Battery electrics, 183 pounds. And hybrid electric buses have 196 pounds. And here they're not wanting to mine more copper. Well, you know, exactly what is this magic?
Well, all these people advertising the cars, they want you to think it is. They want you to think, oh, I'm having no effect on the environment. Well, these batteries have to be disposed of somehow.
Well, that's...
they're done. And they're brought to you. I heard a guy saying, oh, they only go down 2% a year in capacity. These batteries are brought to you from the same people that make your cell phone batteries.
Yeah,
we don't know how long they last.
What's interesting about this is, apart from the environmental discussion, because, you know, some people don't care either way about that. They're not taking a stand one way or another. What you can't get around is that we really haven't solved cold fusion yet. You know, Fleischmann and Pons kind of brought this up in 1989, and it sounded really great. But at this point in time, we don't really have a way for these vehicles to run very far. Now, interestingly, you probably read this too, and I didn't have much time to delve into it in detail, but there is a company that's claiming that they are the Aptera, that they are going to have a 1,000-mile range EV. And this came out right around Christmas time, the stories on this. And I have not read it, so I can't tell you what they're doing, but I don't think they're making cold fusion work in their garage. So I don't know.
But the other thing is, people don't, I mean, you don't just bring your car home and plug it into your wall socket.
Well, it's
$5,000. The average price is $5,000 for a charging station, and they don't want you to put it in your garage because it's a fire hazard to charge it in your garage.
Right.
What about these millions of people who live in apartments in this country?
Well,
you can put charging stations out on the street in the parking decks. I mean,
what about all the various hotels, motels, etc.? How many of them have the ability to charge?
Well, where's the electric going to come from?
And
they oppose coal plants. They oppose gold.
Well, that's
plants.
Yeah, right. That's
they oppose nuclear plants.
Yeah, I can't imagine it myself. But at this point, I just see the whole concept as a feel-good concept. You know, whether you believe it's good for the environment or not, it's just not realistic. Until you can drive across the country without having to wonder if you're going to find a charging station somewhere, this really is not ready for prime time.
Well, I've actually seen where they have these deals where what if your car runs out of power in the middle of the street? They actually have diesel trucks pulling trailers with gas generators on them.
I've seen
this. You drive them out there and plug the gas generator into the car and charge it on the side of the street.
Yeah, but when we talk about the charging stations, you know, let's say the local Holiday Inn or whatever, a level 3 charging station could easily cost $50,000. And it's unlikely that too many hotel chains are going to say, oh, yeah, well, we'll pony up for that. No problem.
But, I mean, it's worth, look at downtown Chicago. More than 50%, I don't know, I have no idea what the number is, but how many people live in those high-rises in Chicago?
They don't have
charging stations.
Well,
they can't park out on the street and charge them.
You know, you bring up something that I really have no answer for, but I would assume in densely populated areas there are charging stations. Now, maybe not sufficient numbers of them, but I would think that in greater Chicago, you're not at a loss of finding one. Are you saying
downtown?
Really? Nothing?
But I'm talking about in the neighborhoods. No, I'm sure there's not. Out in the projects, in the neighborhoods and everywhere?
Well, in the projects, they're not going to be driving the cars anyway, but let's...
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have to. They're going to do away with some gas cars.
Well, You can't legislate technology. And this discussion, by the way, is starting to get political. So I'm starting. My blood pressure is already rising. But let me.
I don't want your blood pressure.
And it will. But let me say that California was famous for trying to legislate technology. I can't tell you how many times they had a drop dead date for when the state vehicles had to be electric. They've had to push that back to infinity. You know, they can say it all they want, but the first drop dead date was like the late 80s. Well, forget about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting, but this is not ready for prime time.
I don't want to get your blood pressure up.
Yeah.
I don't want to get mine up because living in a country I don't recognize. But one thing I just wanted to say is anybody that's considering an electric car needs to look on YouTube at any of the videos on where cobalt comes from.
Yeah.
Because that is 100 times worse than the copper. They won't allow cobalt mines in the United States. 75% of cobalt comes from the Congo. And they have 7, 8, 10-year-old kids sitting in these big holes and knocking rocks together to get this cobalt out of it. And they got green dust all over them. And they're carrying it out in baskets. And this is what these rich people are powering their luxury EVs with.
Yeah. Well, but as far as
just don't understand where it comes from.
As far as cobalt, 98% of it is byproduct, and 60% does come from copper, but I think 38% comes from nickel. And you're right about the Congo. That's as far as primary cobalt mining. That's where it's happening.
Yeah.
But only 2% of all cobalt mining is coming from primary activities. It's almost always a byproduct, and we could count the ways that's environmentally questionable.
Because that byproduct's got to be, it's got to come from somewhere. There's something that's mined.
Well, it usually comes
like
from
you
copper.
Said, the copper and stuff,
yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a reason there's arsenic in the water, and on I could go. But yes.
Yeah, all right. I just wanted to, I don't know, every time one of them commercials comes on, I want to pick my TV up and put it and throw it out in the yard.
But ah.
That happens about half the things I watch on TV.
Man. All right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, good deal. So, we're going to talk about Chicago radio. That'll be a lot more fun with TJ. Not that obviously electric cars aren't an interesting story, and more so now with the wanton ways that manufacturers, including Ford, are using it as an excuse to get rid of AM radio. Now, exactly how much would it cost to filter out the problems? Yeah, not a lot. But apparently, they are contending that no one wants to listen to me or you. I hope you will call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I've lived in apartments, I've lived in a home. I traveled in trailers when I used to roam. But now in these places you won't have me dead, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. I do what I want to, no worries, no cares. If anyone bugs me, I climb little stairs. Way up to a level where astronauts dread, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. This year's tiny nothing, I couldn't care less. I don't rush for buses and trains are a mess. There's no one to care for, I don't make a bed, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. I like how I'm living, I'm nobody's slave. My head's above water, so don't make a wave. There's no door to lock and no dog to be fed, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. So why should I move when the neighborhood's right? No taxes to pay and no landlord to fight. Now I call this living much more, as I've said, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. Now you keep your ulcers, your ills, and what's new. You sure couldn't have them and live like I do. You think I have problems, but you do instead, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. I live with two people, I like both of them. He likes both of me and I like both of him. They're my alter egos and to them I'm wed, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head. There's no civil status in my neighborhood. It's that kind of thinking that keeps it so good. I don't take a lead, but I like to be led, cause I'm happy I live in a split-level head.
And parents, you were concerned with her coming to take me away, haha. No, this was considerably worse. It is Napoleon XIV. I'm Raleigh James. It is WGN Radio, and that's from the They're Coming to Take Me Away, haha album, 1966 on Warner Brothers, which included a number of fine cuts like Photogenic, Schizophrenic, You, yeah, and Marching Off to Bedlam, and on and on and on it went. Yeah, and so when I started to play this, which actually is something I like because the levels are so constant, I can almost set my levels with it like it was a tone. But nonetheless, John came in and said, oh, are we doing Dr. Demento? And no, but it certainly was on a Dr. Demento album. And just terrific. And rest in peace, Napoleon XIV. Jerry Samuel was 84 years old, died on the 10th. All right, TJ is in DeKalb. Welcome back to WGN Radio, TJ.
All right, how you doing, Raleigh, tonight on this cold? Well, I don't know how cold it is out in your area, but it's kind of cold out here.
Yeah, but this is the time of year where it's going to be going into summer sooner than we know. So remember feeling cold when you're feeling hot as hell.
Yeah, I will do that.
Yeah.
Okay, to get down to it. Number one, I'd like to request a record.
You would, huh?
Or a song, rather, if you can find. This might be hard to find.
Mm.
It was a record by Percy Mayfield. VON played it on their Hot 45 survey back when VON was brand new, and it was number one on that station. The record is called River's Invitation. River's Invitation.
Okay.
And it was a big song.
Okay.
On VON's chart.
I believe that it would sound a little bit like this.
All across the country, and I'll play in every town.
Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar, but it sounds like he recorded that. Sounds like an earlier.
It is an earlier version of it, but that was the first one that I had. I've got all of them. Hang on a minute. Oh. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there, right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
I've been all across the country, and I've played in every town, because I'm trying to find my baby, but no one has seen her around. Mm-hmm. Now you know which way I'm headed. If my baby can't be found, if she can't be found, well, I spoke to the river, and the river spoke back to me, and it said, you look so lonely, you look full of misery. Find your baby, come in and make your home with me, make your home with me.
10 years after the version I played, which was from 1953 on Specialty, was re-recorded on Tangerine, Ray Charles' label, and that's Percy Mayfield who wrote it, and I believe that is the version that TJ remembers fondly. That the one? TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the one?
Yeah, that's the one, all right.
All right, yeah, that was on Tangerine. That was Ray Charles' label, and that was 10 years after he wrote it. The first time when it was on Specialty, it was the River's Invitation, and then when it came out on Tangerine, it was a River's Invitation. But it's a fine record all the way around, and, you know, most people know Percy Mayfield because he wrote Hit the Road, Jack, but he had done a number of wonderful things on Specialty, and he was kind of compared to Charles Brown at the time, and just a terrific artist, and then not so well known after that, but on Tangerine, as were a number of other fine folks.
Mm-hmm. As I said, it was a big record on VON.
Sure.
Okay, the questions I have, what was the first AM, 24-hour AM station in Chicago, and what was the first 24-hour AM station in America?
You know, that's a great question. I got to think about that because, of course, you're talking about broadcasting 24 hours a day. I assume you're also talking about under the same ownership.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Hmm. That's a great question because, you know, a lot of split frequencies and all that kind of place. I'd have to look it up to know for sure. Some people claim it was KGFJ in Los Angeles, and I don't know that that is 100% accurate, but supposedly KGFJ, but I don't know. And it went 24 hours in 1927, November of 27. And but there was a problem because, again, technically they were sharing some time with KFBD, the San Pedro station, so they weren't all KGFJ 24 hours a day until March of 1928. So the question is, in that interim, did somebody else do it? And I'd have to actually research it to know it.
Oh, okay.
You know, now,
how about Chicago?
By the way, you get a lot of stories like when you hear what's the first station that was on 24 hours. Some people will say WDAF in Kansas City because in 1922 they were on the air 24 hours. But there are a lot of asterisks in that answer. KYW in Chicago in 23, asking Chicago. When KYW was there. And it was... broadcasting news bulletins overnight, and in 1925 they were broadcasting jazz band remotes overnight. And see, overnight's going to be the important part of this, because you'll have a lot of stations that maybe were on the air until midnight or whatever, but you want to know who is 24 hours a day. And as I say, KGFJ is claimed that, but I think you could see, and also we should also say continually operating, because of course KYW in Chicago was not continually operating after a period of time. So I know KGFJ used to call themselves, this is probably 60 something years ago, but they said the first 24-hour station in America, you know. But
I was thinking, you know, when the station started broadcasting for a whole week.
Well, you see, even yeah, right, and usually that was Sunday night. That's why DXing on Sunday night could be such a charm, because so much was off the air. But we all lived for that, you know. Forget about being bleary eyed the next day in school because nothing really mattered. Yes, I'm with you. I was right there. But even that, how we'd have to parse this if we wanted to do it, and I've never really done a study on it. But we want to find out, because there were so many split frequencies in terms of ownerships and all that. And how long did they do it? It's a great question. So I don't have a... Are you still there? Have you left us, TJ? All right. So there. Are you back, TJ? Did you go somewhere?
Yes.
Oh, I won't even ask. All right. So should I put you in charge of researching this? Or do you want me to do it for you?
You're talking, you know, if you can do it, good.
Yeah, right. All right. All right. So, you know, because by the time you get to the mid 20s, 25, 26, whatever, you're going to find that. But we want to find somebody who's earlier, who continued to do it, and I'll look around.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. I must be hard to hear at your end, because you sound good at this end.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, glad to hear it, and hope to talk to you soon.
Okay, and John, hey, keep rocking, man.
Yeah, rocking. You betcha. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yesterday wasn't a good day for John, and I was actually very worried, but today was just fine, and he did very well in therapy, which is actually a lot of fun to do, and truly. Now, 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and that's going to take us to Leah and Marcus Hook. What's happening, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I just had to take some NyQuil because I had a coughing fit.
So oh, dear.
A little loopy.
Oh, well, good. Well, that'll make for an interesting call. I'm pleased about it.
I called because last night you played a song by someone named Candy Staten.
Oh, of course.
And I was blown away. That song and her voice, she's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I looked her up on YouTube today, and I played the whole album that song is on,
okay.
And Albert and I listened to it when he got home, and we were blown away. We love her now, and I was trying to find that album on eBay, and can't find it, and I called a couple record stores around here, and they don't have it, And I was wondering if sometime when you have a full show, if you could do one of those bio things on her.
Oh, sure. And of course, her big hit in the disco era was Young Hearts Run Free. That's what most people know her for.
I'm not a disco fan. So I wouldn't know that.
You would like that song though. She did a lot of country stuff too. She did a lot of stuff in Muscle Shoals. So, Young Hearts Run Free. I think you'd probably like that. I believe that David Crawford wrote it, and it was originally recorded by Candy Staton, but it's entirely possible that later the dreaded Rod Stewart did. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if you could tell us more about her and, you know,
she certainly was interesting, and... In fact, it's interesting because Frank, who calls and requests song, wanted a Joe Williams song, and that was actually her first husband. So she had six of them. Interesting.
Did she write any of her own material?
That's a great question. I don't know that she did. I'm trying, you know, like I say, a lot of the country crossover, she didn't write any of that. I don't think she wrote...
That song was so good.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Who wrote that song?
What did I play? That's terrible to say. I don't rhyme.
Can you call me baby?
Oh, that's Harlan Howard. Okay, Charlie Rich had that out, too. Harlan Howard, if you're not familiar with him, was a heck of a writer.
That is a great song.
Yeah, it's... And
she put so much emotion into it. You know, the way she sang it, her phrasing and everything was so spot on.
Harlan Howard wrote over 4,000 records. Believe it or not. Yeah. And it's hard. You know, he wrote I Fall to Pieces, Busted, Why Not Me for the Judds was actually Harlan Howard. I mean, you name it. So there's a ton of Harlan Howard records. So if you're unaware of him, you will want to look him up. It's Harlan Howard.
Okay. All right, so I just wanted to ask you, sometime when you have a full show, if you could do a bio of her, because I'm fascinated by her now, and I just want to know. She's got a phenomenal voice.
Yeah, I agree.
Phenomenal.
Well, I will, in fact, do that. So, and Harlan Howard, by the way, also wrote Joe Simon's The Choking Kind.
No, I don't know that song.
Oh, you should know that. And of course, you know Busted, Ray Charles, and that was him, and so much more. So yeah, check him out. You will be pleased.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. 88 88 Raleigh. Yeah, he with Buck Owens, he did I Got a Tiger by the Tail. You know, a lot of country stuff. No Charge. Oh man, was that ever a soap opera? And on it went. And Streets of Baltimore. So I think, although Harlan Howard was another one of those guys, a lot like Candy Staton, in that married to a lot of people. One of them was Jan Howard, the country singer, but not one of my favorites. Okay, so 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it will be on mine. And a guy from Waukegan called the toll-free number while we weren't on the air and left a phone message saying, I want to hear the Ponytails. Well, I'll play it next here on WGN Radio.
Just for me. And now, girl, no, now that I found you, come closer, girl, I wanna put my arms around you. I'm a lucky boy, you're my pride and joy, I'm in love. Yeah.
Cause in our love I found the sun that shines for me eternally. Goodbye now, no, goodbye.
WGN Radio, I'm Roddy James. You're saying that's not the Ponytails, yeah, Born Too Late. No, but I saw that Johnny in Austin, Johnny Goen, was calling and I realized I had not played his Isley Brothers request, My Love Is Your Love Forever. So I thought I should get that out of the way first. So Johnny, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Very good to be here. How are you tonight?
I can't complain.
Good. Yeah. Sounds like you had a better day today.
Yeah.
John's doing better. And
exactly.
He sounds fine. And
yeah,
we all have better days than others. So.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I got a little good news today. I'll send you an email.
Oh, but, I can't wait. Good. Good.
It didn't go anywhere else. So I'll.
I assume that. Good.
So, on another note, I was listening to TJ's call, and yeah. I was a big Percy Mayfield fan on the Rivers Invitation, and the flip side on Tangerine called Baby Please.
Yes.
That was more bluesy, but the Rivers Invitation that he wanted to hear was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I got the 45 on it. Oh, and you know, speaking of, maybe it was 63 or 62. Do you remember a song by Patience Valentine called Ernestine?
Yes.
I would really like to hear that one, and that just popped into my head right then, and he probably remembers.
Yeah, that was on Sar, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's
yes.
That's
and,
probably on this computer.
Favorite was I think this was not a true live recording, but it sounded really good. It was released in, I believe, 63 again by Lloyd Price called Misty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It comes in like it's a live performance introducing
yeah.
the dynamic personality, Mr. Lloyd Price.
Right. Yeah, I played that on KJ.
Oh, that's a great song. And
yeah.
I don't think it was a real live recording. I think they just did that in
right.
the studio.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but either one of those. I'd forgotten about Ernestine. And there was another Sar song that was so hard to find for so long. It was by Bobby Womack. And what the heck was the name of it now? Oh, I'll Make It All Right. Oh, no, it's the Valentinos and Bobby
yeah,
Womack. I'll Make It All Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I can do
so
that.
I just had a bunch of them just come to mind right there. But,
yeah.
Everything's doing well.
Good. And how's Gary doing?
Gary's dealing with everything else. He's fine.
Good.
You know,
good.
Day at a time.
Absolutely. That's all we get.
Yeah, doing a lot of research. There was a study that came out on... there's been many studies, but I got this off of a website that someone was telling me about called Epic Times.
Oh, yeah, I'm a subscriber.
So am I.
Okay, yeah, $99 a year. If I'm spending $99 a year, you know that I must really want to read it.
It's really good. It's
yeah.
got all kind of stuff in
yeah.
it. And it's even, they got a TV channel and all this stuff.
Yes, yes, you betcha.
And, anyway, so this is, I've had it about a week now, but I was over there in their health section yesterday, and there was a story about prostate cancer. It was just a study done in the UK, and it was just released a couple of days ago.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'm going to leave it right there, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Such a great song and such a bad recording of it. Yeah, I've got to upgrade that on this computer. But still, Ernestine was a fine record that Johnny just mentioned. And so to go back to our discussion.
Oh, man, that takes back, memories with that song. I don't know, it's something about 1963. There was just a lot of really good stuff back then.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it was the last good year, you know, because then came, of course, the British invasion. And I realize that music historians consider that early 60s to be nothing but pablum and all that. But I'll tell you, I thought these records were just terrific and some great production values, too.
Yeah, I do. You know, and back in those days, too, if you didn't get one of those records when they came out, they'd be gone from the stores, and you'd just have to search everywhere to find them.
Well, right, because most of the places we were buying, they were just racked, so a rack jobber would deliver what they were going to, and that'd be it.
Yeah, I mean, it took me forever to find a copy of that Bobby Womack and the Valentinos,
yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I'll Make It All Right.
Yes.
It was years before they ever got that on a CD. I thought they never would, but they finally did.
Yeah, the longer we live, the more we get because they run out of other stuff. So they'll put things they never otherwise would have considered onto CDs, some of which they really should have kept buried. But occasionally, it'll be things like I'll Make It All Right, which Curtis wrote, of course. And it is just a wonderful song. But I don't think that Ernestine is on a CD. I could be mistaken.
I don't think it is either. I don't think that made the cut either, because there was a SAR little box set,
uh-huh,
with Sam Cooke's picture on it,
uh-huh,
and I don't know if that was two CDs or not. I did get it. It was released in the early 90s, and that's when I was really disappointed that the Valentinos, I'll Make It All Right, was not on there, and then they released another SARS. This was just a CD. But I don't think Ernestine was on there either. I've got the 45, and it's not, I mean, it's better than not having it at all.
Yeah, it's on Soulful Kind of Ladies, Volume 1.
It is on a CD?
But not a CD of hers. One of those compilation CDs that has some Baby Washington and a bunch of other Theola Kilgore.
Is it an import?
Yeah, it's obviously somebody's boot, and God knows. But I'm trying to think. I think the label was like Popcorn Records or something.
Oh, speaking of bad quality CDs, I got one that I'm getting ready to send back. I found one on the Radiance.
Oh, yes. During the Leonard...
Oh, the quality's terrible, but, I mean, it's... Voice, you know, I mean, even the good stuff sounds terrible. It was all mastered off a record. I mean, it's terrible.
Well, you know, some of the mastered off of records I prefer because they don't mess with the, with the production values of it. But, the Radiance during the Leonard Caston days, like, It Ain't No Big Thing, that's my favorite. So...
I'm wondering if... Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was on here, but, I mean, it was obvious. A bootleg or something. I bought it through Amazon.
What was it, the Ultimate Collection, those 29 cuts?
It just says Baby You Got It, Radiance, and it was on the Titanic label, if that tells you.
Oh, no. They have Ultimate Collection of 29 cuts of the Radiance on Amazon, and you might say, but I think it was Titanic, so I'll bet you it's the same thing.
It's just purple and pink.
Yes, that's it.
Well, I've got it in my hand, and I got what I wanted off of it, but it was, I mean, the audio is just awful.
That's so sorry. I hate to hear that. You know, because you can't...
I don't know why they never legitimately put anything out on them.
Well, again, I think that it's only when they're going deeper into catalogs that they find a reason to do this. It's our music, but it's not what somebody would consider to be commercially attractive, where we'd salivate for it, but we'd be a small cadre of people.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff on there I wasn't really happy with, but it got down to about track number 27, and then it started skipping and going crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, of course, because those are the ones that are closer to the outside of the CD, and CD rot will take care of that in short order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah.
One of them that was pretty good was the last track called I Don't Want to Face the Truth. That was pretty good.
Okay.
I'd never heard it before.
Yeah, I have, but don't want to face the truth, and that, oh God, that was later, and I'm trying to think, it was on Twinight. It was not a Chess record.
And it really?
It was a flip side. The A side was My Sunshine Girl.
Mm.
And this was 71. So I think Leonard Keston Jr. was already gone. And
Sunshine Girl. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that was the A side. And the B side was Don't Want to Face the Truth. Yeah.
Well, even the good ones like the Hold-Ons and the Shy Guy and all that, it was totally mono and crackled and popped and
That's unfortunate because, you know, you can make good bootleg CDs, and it's a shame that somebody didn't go to the trouble to do that.
No, not really. Gary wanted me to ask you this question, and I think I've asked you this some years ago, but this song that came out in 1971, it was on A&M by Sisters Love called Are You Lonely?
Uh-huh. Didn't I play that?
Some years ago, yeah.
Okay.
But my question is, why did that not get... I mean, you would have thought that would have been a hit. I mean, something went wrong.
Well, for one thing, A&M was not a label that was known for anything that would have had any R&B distribution. For another thing, they weren't in charge of their own network of distributors. So there were so many possibilities of what could have gone wrong.
Well, I mean, it got some top 40 airplay in Houston, very, very little. Well, and I don't even think the R&B stations even... touched or knew about.
And again, A&M, you know, who's gonna bring the record in? Sisters Love were the Raelettes.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, I realize there's a lot of Raelettes, so you got to find out which Raelettes. But they were. So, you know why? I'm trying to think of when that was recorded. I know that they had been on other labels before A&M, but they signed with A&M probably the end of the 60s or 68, 69 probably. And they were in, some of those black, what they call it, blaxploitation movies, Willie Hutch stuff. And that's how Are You Lonely. Gene Chandler wrote and produced that.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And so it has a Chicago connection that way. And then a year later, they left A&M and they went to Mo West, which, if you remember, that was a Motown.
Oh, yeah. That's what Sarita was on, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So the Motown subsidiary. And they toured with the Jackson 5 and all that. And it's obviously they wanted to do something on a label that had more ability to, you know, promote R&B. But unfortunately, very, very little happened. Give Me Your Love, that was 73, that did all right. And there's a Northern Soul hit that they had, I'm Learning to Trust My Man.
And, never heard of it.
Yeah, Tamla reissued that. And it was originally on Mo West, and then I think it was the same record that the other side was Try It, You'll Like It, which had been recorded by...
Don't know it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was their... But A&M, I would think that the distribution just wasn't set up to do that.
Well, I was surprised it didn't get the play that I thought it deserved. It wasn't the greatest song I've ever heard, but I thought it was pretty darn well produced, and it was good.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Raelettes, another Raelettes song that was really good was Bad Water.
Yes.
And with all the environmental stuff going on right now, it's quite fitting for bumper music.
Yeah, Bad Water. Play it back-to-back with Tom Lehrer's Pollution. But
exactly.
Yeah.
So, did you check out that Epic Times article on the prostate cancer deal?
No, but I sure will.
That was a study that just came out from the UK, and it's all over the internet now. It's this prostate cancer study, and it involved three things if you had it. It was radiation, surgery, or wait and see.
Right,
that is,
yeah.
If it was self-contained.
Right, I just looked at this, and, well, sometimes wait and see is the way to go. But
Well, I, you know, it was very interesting that it just came out, and I had just subscribed to that Epic Times and happened to go to their, I think it was health section, and bingo. But it was for anybody who's dealing with that or has dealt with it, it's very enlightening and rather encouraging.
Well, it is encouraging because unlike some cancers, for the most part, and I say this hesitantly because, of course, everybody's disease trajectory is unique to them, but most prostate cancer is very slow growing. And so when you compare survival between, say, surgery or radiation or do nothing or what have you, since it's slow growing, do nothing's going to do pretty darn well in those studies.
Yeah.
So
if that study had gone on, they'd done that for a long time, yeah. And I think it involved about over 1,600 people.
Well, I think the key is if you decide you're treating, however you're treating it, and you know we all laugh about the commercials on television for pharmaceuticals because the side effects will just, who in their right mind would take any of that? And I really, it's hilarious. After a while, you just start to laugh, but you wouldn't be laughing if you're taking it. So I think that for people who are considering an option that includes either pharmaceuticals or surgery or radiation, you need to take a look at the risk reward ratio and see what the potential side effects are and see what the likelihood is of the possibility if you do nothing of something spreading and then make a decision fully informed. But many, many people just go with what their doctor says, this is the way to go, rather than do some independent research, which right now there's no excuse not to because you can find out more online. And I realize when you consult Dr. Google, quote unquote, it can, it can be an absolute exercise in futility at best. But I think that since there is so much out there, individuals have to realize that they're a partner in their own health care and they need to be informed, period, and then make decisions based upon knowledge that, and again, not necessarily the Yahoo stuff that, that you read and, you can almost discount. But when you start looking at studies and studies after studies, and when you start looking at outcomes, for instance, when I say that prostate cancer is primarily slow growing, well, that's a fact. That's not an opinion. But primarily is the operative word there. So, it behooves anybody to get a hold of their own, diagnosis and go from there.
Well, by the time, I don't know who released that, but it's all over the internet now, so you can just put in prostate cancer study 2023 right. Or something, okay. And it's everywhere. If that should apply to anybody listening, it's rather enlightening.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it certainly is worthwhile to be very well aware of what the side effects are of whatever treatment, including no treatment, you decide to opt for.
Well, and even if you opt to do nothing, you still need to keep an eye on it.
Well, of course, that's what I'm saying. There's a cost in doing nothing as well. You need to recognize what it is in all of that and choose the one that you think is best for you.
By the way, one of your listeners called last night with regard to a air personality who was let go at a station called WLIP.
Yes, yes, in Kenosha, yes.
What was the guy? Lose something?
Yes.
Rigani? Or?
Yeah. He was originally Lou Bruno many, many years ago on the air, so that's what I think of him as. But, and he had The Music of the Stars. Rigani, R-U-G-A-N-I. Lou Rigani, The Music of the Stars.
I did. I looked him up last night, and I saw a bio on him, and I didn't know if he did talk radio or not, but that guy sounded like he was very, very smart.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I hope he was smart enough to have copies of all the audio that disappeared, because Lord knows I wouldn't trust it on a radio station server. But there, we'll see. I bet you you'll. He was a singer for a while too. He actually sang himself.
I got that impression that he was, and maybe he was doing a music show there. I don't know.
Yeah, he was. He was absolutely. So,
but I tell you, these radio companies now are. Ugh, I am so glad to be out of this business. I really don't. There's not a thing about it I would even want to go near today.
Well, it's not the business that you got into. Unfortunately, it's just not the same on any level. And there were so many things that kept it, small, independent. Like we talk about Paglin Ray a lot, for instance. I mean, guys that in the past we might shudder with, we now look at fondly compared to the corporatocracy you see today.
Well, as I said, I worked for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And back in those days, it wasn't all fun and games.
Of course not. And we could all tell stories till the cows come home. But it's one of the reasons I love WGN is that it's based on love. You know, when you get right down to it, this is a television company that makes a fortune. And what a radio station can make, even something as successful as WGN, it's a fraction dollars wise. And they do it because they love it. And, I know Sean Compton, the only reason that I'm on this radio station for sure, it's absolutely a mission to him, a mission of emotion. He's running the television networks and there's a lot more in terms of dollars and activity there. But radio, he loves it. And, he'll be damned if he's putting on infomercials or anything like that. It's going to be good radio.
Well, WGN's afternoon talent, Lisa Dent,
yes,
replaced me at KIKK in Houston in 1997.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, she's very talented.
Yeah.
And her news person is a friend of mine that they worked together for some time. But she did well. She worked for some real morons in Houston.
Well, there's a lot of that going around. But it broadened her into what she is. And, I can't think of any day part or any time on WGN that isn't just first class. And I can't say that about any other station in America.
You know, I had a friend who was he's not here with us anymore, but he was a radio guy who worked up in Cincinnati and different places, and he just loved WGN, and he finally, back in the mid-2000s, got to go up there and tour the place and meet the people, and there was a promotions lady that worked there at the time named, her last name, Osborne was her last name. Anyway, she was the... She was the promotions person for the station, and treated him quite well, and he got to meet Steve Cochran, I think, and a bunch of folks up there. But that was his station, and I'll tell you what he would really miss to this day was their top-of-the-hour time tone.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God they don't have it. Speaking of which, I know I'm blowing a commercial break right about now, but thank God they don't have that.
Well, anyway, if you get a chance, play Misty by Lloyd Price.
I'll do it. I promise. It'll come up next.
You know what I like. You have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. Yes, thank God there is no time tone, but there is this on WGN Radio.
foot from my left, my hat from my glove.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James, and yes, that's Lloyd Price, and that's Misty, and that's exactly what Johnny Gordon wanted to hear, and happy to play it. I haven't forgot about Born Too Late, our Waukegan request. It will be on next, I promise, and which I'm saying because that might be the last bumper of the night, but I'll do it, because I meant to do it as like the first bumper of the night, but, well, as usual, I lost control of the show about 3 minutes after it started, so, which is great, because it really is your show, and tomorrow night, we also have a slight delay. Let me see how long that delay is before I do anything else, which is, you know, good information for me to have as well, but I'll tell you what the deal is. It's more more sports, and which is certainly more active than I am. So let's see. Tomorrow would be Wednesday, and they're all blending together at this point. And it's the NCAA Tournament First Four. So unlike Blackhawks hockey, which is fairly predictable in terms of what time the show goes on the air, NCAA Tournament, anything could happen. But I believe that we will be on again at 11 o'clock Central or thereabouts. So you'll just have to check that out. And as I said, I've got the slime from the checkout line. Trump's secret talks with Putin revealed. We have a lot of Putin in the news. In fact, some of James's links, and we'll talk to James here in a couple minutes, are all about that as well. So we'll leave politics aside and move directly on to the rest of the news in this week's issue of the Globe. Now, the Idaho college kids died over drugs and money. So I got to find out what that is about. And then we have Britney Spears gone to the dogs. Apparently, her house is a foul-fetid hellhole. And all right, so where dogs and cats run free, pooping everywhere, and even attacking the neighbors. Well, she and her husband, Sam, have hired help who are expected to mop it up and take the dogs out, but there's no schedule, which is confusing the pooches. What are these dogs? And, how big are these animals? We'll find out here in moments, I'm sure. Oh, there's a Doberman pup. That's Portia. Reportedly ran out the door of her Thousand Oaks home and nipped a 70-year-old man who was riding his bicycle. Well, that could make him wealthy. It sent the senior citizen to a local urgent care clinic to have it checked out. And one of Brittany's security guards got a hold of Portia and took her home. And, yeah, they tracked her down. She was 5 miles from home when they tracked her down. And Portia was a gift to Brittany from Sam, her husband, now. And so I don't know about the rest of the animals, but apparently they're running free in the mansion. All right, so Epstein Madam scores $30 million divorce windfall. And what I found fascinating about this headline is I had no idea she was married. So Ghislaine Maxwell, apparently, of course, she, you know where she is. She's in jail, right? 20-year sentence for sex trafficking underage girls, all that Jeffrey Epstein deal. Let me get this story. Her husband was Scott Borgerson. And apparently she transferred cash to him, and then the marriage crashed when he refused to pay her legal bills. So now there's a divorce, and she's apparently going to have a lot of money to fund an appeal, and her lawyers claim her conviction was tainted. Yeah, well, actually, her conviction was tainted as far as that goes. Lawyers don't have to claim that. This has nothing to do with whether she was innocent or guilty or whatever. But when you have a juror who admits that they were not truthful on the voir dire questionnaire and then admits that they used their own experience with molestation as a way to sway other jurors, I think that's something that should be investigated. And again, that has nothing to do with whether she's innocent or guilty, but everything to do with the way trials should go down. So, meanwhile, the deal is that she, I guess, has this guy that she's not fully divorced from, and she's getting $30 million. Man, I tell you what. So, Angelina is hexing Brad Pitt's new romance. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know Brad Pitt had a new romance, but apparently, yes, a deal. And now Angelina, who hates him anyway, doesn't want him to have a relationship with apparently anyone else. So who's the woman? Who's the poor woman? Apparently, Inez is her name. And they were spotted together in Paris at the César Awards. And so Angelina is weaponizing the 6 kids she shares with Pitts to complete her destructive mission. I can't even say it with a straight face. And that's the deal there, hexing. Larry King's widow, you don't want to hear. Oh, the Mexican president has pictures that he's claiming is a Mayan elf. Art Bell, where are you now that we need you? You left far too soon. Andre Obrador mocked by critics as he claims a tree creature is an Indonesian ape. You'll have to read it for yourself. So that's right, because I couldn't begin to ferret out that story. Yeah, so let's see what else we have here. Yeah, there's so much going on, don't you know? Because I know you don't want to miss a word of the Globe. And Andrew is hell-bent on an eviction fight, refusing to obey King Charles and quit the Royal Lodge. So apparently King Charles and Prince Andrew are at odds because the prince is refusing to move out of his home in Windsor Castle and threatening to humiliate the crown if he's forced out. Probably wouldn't be hard to do. So as you know, Andrew was allegedly involved in that whole Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Osborne stuff, although there's a lot of people who say Photoshop is marvelous, don't you think? Now, what do we have? That Charles banned Andrew from Buckingham Palace and eliminated his $300,000 annual royal allowance. Must be nice. But he isn't willing to forgive Andrew's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. So apparently Andrew paid the $10 million to settle that civil suit. Yeah, that was another thing. It was just really out there. So I guess he's currently ensconced where the royals don't want him, and we'll see what happens there. And so we've got Fox News and all that Dominion lawsuit stuff going on. I'll let you read that for yourself. Border war. Rancher accused of blowing away unarmed alien crossing his land. Oh, that could get interesting. All right, what else do we have? Actor bagged in comic book heist? Well, now I'm interested in this one. Apparently, Hollywood no-name Ray Buffer drew national attention for a starring role in security footage at a San Diego business, and now the two-bit actor is being charged with petty theft after booking from the shop with more than $600 in rare comics stuffed under his shirt. Well, so there, yeah, that's right, he's star of stage, screen, and crime photos. All right, so what else do we have in that? Russian roulette, yes, Trump's secret talks with Putin exposed. All right, I'll leave that to you to read. I know you'll want to. So now, Idaho college murder motive revealed. Well, I would say that Brian Kohlberger, the suspect, was a head case, to say the least. But what they're saying is the twisted psycho who butchered four innocent University of Idaho students while they slept was flying high on a potent drug cocktail of heroin and methamphetamine, investigators claim. All right. So addicted to speed. And this guy was going for his PhD in criminology, by the way, which, you know, I'll leave it to you to make the draw the lines on that one. So apparently a supercharged drug combo of speed and heroin fueled his killing rampage. Well, so he's proclaiming his innocence, though. And that'll be an interesting trial to say the least. Madonna's big brother didn't want to be saved. That's actually a sad story. Yeah, at first I thought it was going to be a religious conversion, but no, he killed himself in booze rehab, and that is sad. All right, what else do we have in the Globe? Amal Clooney, as George Clooney's lawyer wife, has over $2 million in her closet, and I don't mean cold hard cash or gold, that'd be fine. I'm talking clothes. And she doesn't let anyone else buy her fashions. She buys them herself. Yeah, $2 million? What the hell is she wearing? Apparently stylish, don't you know? And so she's a 45-year-old human rights attorney. Right, a trendsetter. I don't know. I think you do a lot more with $2 million, but just me. I'm also looking at the clothes she's allegedly wearing, and I'm saying, $2 million, really? Okay, then. And so we'll just move directly on there. You can read every word in the Globe yourself, because I know that expiring minds want to know. So, no, this is not possible. Well, actually, I guess it is possible. Barbara Streisand wants to clone her dogs, but her husband, James Brolin, isn't happy about it. Yeah, cloning her dogs, Violet and Scarlet. Yeah, these are ankle biter type dogs. And apparently, Violet and Scarlet turned 5, and she showered them with a party and doggy cookies and new toys. And
Yes, they're five. And apparently she thinks it's a good age to start the cloning process. All righty then. That's a fortune too, by the way. Yeah, more expensive than Amal Clooney's clothing. Oh, what else do we have? I lied about Manson rape and torture, Marilyn Manson. Oh, that is just, I hope that's not true, but that's a horrible, horrible thought all the way around. And then plenty of pictures. And you can see it all in this week's Globe. Yeah. And, and why Vanna won't get married. Well, she's been there, done that. So we got James on the South Side. Welcome to WGN Radio.
How are you doing?
Better than most people in the Globe right now.
A few of the stories I said, well, apparently Charles would like Angie to move into Farmore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it'd be okay, but he doesn't want to give up his lifestyle.
Who would?
Yeah. You got a nice chunk of money. You get to a whole lot of charities. You get to help. You get to be seen out and about. And I guess he's like saying, "Why should I?" Unfortunately, I guess he's seeing a little bit. It's like that. What you don't want to see out there.
Yeah, but the other side of this is you figure he was a royal all of his life. He's got to have some goods on Charles, too. And at some point, he's going to say, I'm not planning on leaving. And by the way, if I'm going, wait till you hear what I'm going to say about you.
Yeah, but then supposedly now Charles invited Harry and Meghan.
To what?
Well, I to a coronation, I get, now, of course, everybody's hoping that most of us will just give Harry and Meghan the cold shoulder.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I think we're still taking bets on how long Harry's going to be with Meghan, so that will be the next dilemma, no doubt, at some point down the road.
Yeah, then, of course, then there's I'm not even certain unfortunate misbegotten American tourists who found out just how come it's not so safe to go down to Mexico, especially off the beaten track.
Oh, man. Those stories are always, always just heartbreakers. And it does make you wonder why people think they're immune. And when you're on foreign soil, it is foreign soil. Don't doubt it for a moment. The story that you sent me that I found interesting was the Saudi Arabian diplomat who says there will be no cars in the future. Now, considering that all of Saudi's money is based upon oil, that's really alarming. But he says there'll be virtually no traffic. You'll go to different places very efficiently without cars. So I'd love to see what his version of the future is, but apparently it's...
Yeah, I suspect that we will still be using petrochemicals for something.
Well,
also, they might diversify out of to other things by then.
Well, and of course, they're talking about the problem is the chip shortage. And, you know, they should go back to making cars the way they used to. But nonetheless, I don't think that Saudi Arabia will celebrate the end of the car anytime soon. So I would assume that diplomat will be called back to the mothership in short order.
Oh, yeah. Then, I got to admit that there was the one about the cocaine cat in Cincinnati that I sent you.
Oh, I might
about
have...
About the survival where supposedly there was this high speed in Cincinnati of all places.
Well, that would fit in more ways than one, but I missed the cocaine cat. I'm not sure I did.
Okay, I think about last week.
Oh,
it's like a few stories down about, I think, six or seven, I probably said it, something like that. I didn't have it to a storyline because I only heard about it in passing from another source.
Oh, that I'm never going to find this.
And I said that apparently and this cat jumps out of the car and it's a Silver, one of those little kind of small to medium sized wild cats. after they catch her and they test her, find out the cat is kind of been juiced up on cocaine.
I found this. He's apparently rehabbing at the Cincinnati Zoo now. It was an African wildcat, not a house cat, wandering the streets of Cincinnati with cocaine in his system. Apparently, he could use the cocaine. He had a broken leg, among other things. He was a 35-pound serval, and he jumped out of a car and climbed a tree at a traffic light in a residential neighborhood. And during the ensuing rescue, he broke his leg. So apparently, they ran a drug test on him and found out that he was positive. So apparently, his owners decided that sharing was the way to go. And now he's at the Cincinnati Zoo, making great strides, I might add, as well, in rehabilitation. Lovely tale.
Yeah, I gotta admit, though, very, very strange that now, at least the owners say, oh, I'll share my stuff with you.
Right.
Let's get high together.
With a serval cat, you know, these are not cheap drugs either. So yeah, that was a fine story. But he's living his best life at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah. At least just imagine if he could talk, he would probably say, humans are very strange animals.
Now, you probably have read about the UK, where they are instructing local authorities to turn citizens into criminals if they use, in fact, wood-burning stoves.
Of course, considering that the city of Chicago is about to ban the use of gas furnaces and appliances in new housing that gets constructed.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think they may have passed it. I know the outgoing administration is keen to put that on their legacy list.
Well, better living electrically. I could see a couple of payouts in that saga. Interesting. Fascinating. All right.
Yeah, of course. Let's see now. I imagine that people's gas will not be very happy after their current of their customer base as they age and fade away, this could be very problematic for
them. I just realized something. I need to end the show.
Okay.
Probably appropriate anyway, but we'll talk again soon, and thank you for all the many, 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 many links. Much appreciated. All right.
I did send a card.
Oh, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, maybe or not. Who knows? All right. So, yes, James sends me just delightful links, and I greatly appreciate it. But I just realized I'm not sure I, in fact, did any breaks this hour. So with that in mind, I'll do one now on WGN Radio. Probably not sorry the show is over, but I apologize to our Waukegan caller. That's all you get of the ponytails. Maybe we'll play it again sometime soon or not. It is the Raleigh James Show, or was anyway. We thank Dan for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls, above all, you for calling, and we'll do it again tomorrow night after the NCAA tournament right here on WGN Radio.